हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
सो पेज 27 दिस इज Okay. Pranastatana Gamat. Prana indicates the Lord, not the Jiva, since this is understood by the context. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.6. Dhruva Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses, my hands, legs, ears, touch, sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you." 497. "My Lord, you are the Supreme One, but by your different energies, you appear differently in the spiritual and material worlds. You create the total energy of the material world by your external potency. And after creation, you enter within the material world as the Supersoul. You are the Supreme Person, and through the temporary modes of material nature, you create varieties of manifestation, just as fire entering into wood of different shapes burns brilliantly in different varieties." Footnote 17. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse. The identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the feature of Paramatma, or Supersoul, is admitted herein. His original spiritual energy enlivens the material energy, and thus the dead body appears to have life force. Voidist philosophers think that under certain material conditions, the symptoms of life occur in the material body. But the fact is that the material body cannot act on its own. Even a machine needs separate energy, electricity, steam, etc. It is stated in this verse that the material energy acts in varieties of material bodies, just as fire burns differently in different wood according to the size and quality of the wood. In the case of devotees, the same energy is transformed into spiritual energy. This is possible because the energy is originally spiritual, not material. Because the Lord, his energy is originally, it's his internal potency. It's just that the internal potency transforms into the externally for dealing with the living entities who are conditioned. Right? Because the point is the spiritual energy being conscious, then it's not going to appreciate being dealt with by a living entity who's not. Therefore, then, the transformation you're dealing with the external energy, which is not conscious. Right? It's still energy, so it functions, things happen, just like electricity. It makes things work, but it's not conscious. But in the spiritual world, then they'll be fully conscious. So that energy going is what makes the body work. The soul is there, of course, but actually what makes the body function is the prana, is Krishna. He's the one that makes it look like it's alive. Right? So that's the thing. And so then how it's alive and all that, that'll differ depending upon the particular living entity that it's in, whatever particular body it's in. So depending on that, then you get different flavors of you know, what that life force looks like. How much energy, how much, what they do, everything like that. So, yeah?
Yeah. So this is the prana that Vyasadeva is meant in his sutra?
Yes. Because it's not meaning just the 10 life airs and their particular functions. It's meaning that the whole thing is that the whole body and everything is alive, that life force itself. Mm-hmm. So, in a sense, yeah.
Is that the same as
the
otis?
Or
is that a
no, no, no. This is beyond. The otis, all these things are just levels of the body. That's just what you're working with. In other words, energy is going to manifest. How does it manifest? You know, just like fire, it will manifest, but the potency of fire, that's what you're working about. So that will manifest like in the digestion and the blood and the eyes and all these different things. It won't manifest somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that ojas is just one of the elements that's there. So if it's there, it gives a glow to the body. If it's not, it's not. But the point is if the life force is not there, even there is ojas, it doesn't do anything. Like that, yeah. Yeah, so for the devotees, it's transformed into spiritual energy. Right? For the devotees, they're dealing with the material energy, but it acts as spiritual energy. That's why they get a spiritual result.
But only the devotees conscious, not otherwise.
It only for the devotees. For everyone else, it's dealing as external energy. Because the devotee is conscious of Krishna, so therefore he's working with yoga maya, therefore the energy acts in a spiritual way. Right? So that's why it says spiritualized.
Yeah. Could that be like also a question of like moment, like you're working with conscious of Krishna, and the moment that you forget... When you forget,
then you're dealing with external energy.
So it could be very subtle. Like
yeah, yeah. Because yoga maya is the same person as mahamaya. It's just two different offices. So yogamaya is the original nature, mahamaya is the transformation. So she can act either way. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let us say, okay, you have, you know, someone who's, let's say, the... Okay, you have a lady, and let's say she's the mayor, okay? But at home, she's just, you know, the person, she's the mother of a child, the wife of her husband, you know, friends, like this and that. She deals like that. She's not the mayor. You know what I'm saying? But it is one of the things she does, and everybody knows that, like you see in the, what do you call it? The prayers... What was it? Yeah, the prayers to about Devaki when Krishna was in the womb. Then it's mentioning how. What's the aspect? Yeah, just getting the fire covered by. No, it's before that. When Krishna's telling Yogamaya that, you know, he's going to appear, and so everybody, all of his associates are appearing. And so she will be known here in the material world when she appears as Durga and Kali and all these, you know, Bhairavi and all these different things, Chandi. You understand? Because that's how they'll know here, but it's actually, that's her. So now let's say she's at work. She's the mayor. Now, what if her child walks in? Is she the mayor? No, she's the mother. So, but with everybody else in the room, she's dealing as the mayor, but with the child, she's dealing as the mother. You understand? That's the whole thing. Is one can do that. We get confused. How can she be both? We do that all the time. You understand? It's just two different offices. Does that make sense? So that's why then the devotee then is spiritualized, because then you're dealing on the spiritual platform. You have a body made of external energy, but the effect it gives is internal. But if you're not Krishna conscious, then it doesn't. It acts in that way. You know what I'm saying? Yes, yes.
Is there any gradations to that? Either it is or it isn't, or can you be 20% Krishna conscious?
Well, that's what I mean. That 20% is there. So in that area where, you see, you're Krishna conscious or not. It's just a matter of how much of the time you're Krishna conscious. So where you're Krishna conscious, it acts that way. Where you're not, it doesn't. So it may be 20% of the time you're Krishna conscious. It's not that there's a gradation within spiritual. It's just you're dealing with one or not. You know, just like you turn on the light and then turn it back off. So light was on. but now the light's off. You know, it's like the holy name. It's Krishna directly. Now, if we are focusing in that, then we become fully absorbed. And if not, then we're not. But he still remains who he is. It's not that he changes. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, in the case of the devotee, the same energy is transformed into spiritual energy. This is possible because the energy is originally spiritual, not material. It is said, so Yogamaya is the original, then there's Mahamaya. Not Mahamaya is original, and then there's Yogamaya. Okay. As it is said, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta. The original energy inspires the devotee, and thus he engages all his bodily limbs in the service of the Lord. The same energy as external potency engages the ordinary non-devotees in material activities for sense enjoyment. We should mark the difference between Maya and Swadharma, Swadhamma, internal potency. For devotees, the Swadhamma acts, whereas in the case of non-devotees, the Maya energy acts. Srimad Bhagavatam 497 purport. Right. So, therefore, even with the devotees who are not being Krishna conscious at the time, it's still Yoga Maya who's arranging, but the effect will be of Mahamaya. Yeah.
We usually say Krishna karma.
Yes.
So that's the point?
Yes. Yeah. Means that Krishna's arranging, but it will be in line with what your mentality is. See, from what activities we perform previously, we have a mentality. That mentality produces the body. So that mentality and body are produced from previous action. That previous action has produced the body and subtle body, but it also produces the situations and results that you'll gain within that gross and subtle body. Right? Mm-hmm. So those are the situations that you are aware of, that are important to you. You know, either in the positive or the negative. Mm-hmm. Right, depending on how you've dealt. You've dealt properly, then they'll come in the positive form. You've dealt improperly, they'll come in the negative form. Right? So now, for Krishna, with Maya, you've done it. You'll get the results. It doesn't matter like that. So it's not a matter of you've changed the mentality, so it changes. No, it's a matter of it's just because that's the way we like it. Right, so we only really like it when it comes to getting the good stuff. We don't like when the bad stuff, because we've demanded that I've done the work, I get the results. Therefore, then you've done the work. If it's bad, you get the results. If it's about Krishna, we're only trying to work to please Krishna, then there's no need of bad results coming from that, because we're not interested in results, because we're not the doer. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, in Krishna karma, then it's only a matter of what particular situations and results come in the various actions that we perform that will be good for us becoming Krishna conscious. So, we're performing our service and relating to Krishna through that conditioning. Therefore, the results and everything will come in that context. Right? They won't come in someone else's context, because it doesn't matter. Right? Yeah. So, therefore, then it looks like our karma. That's why we can say, oh, it's my karma. Right? Because it is a reaction to previous action. But its control is not under Mahamaya. It's under Krishna. It's under Yogamaya. Right? But the more we're absorbed in that conditioning, then the more the result looks like the karma. And less we're absorbed in that, then it's up to Krishna, whatever's the best. But since the body and mind are there, it will come through that medium anyway. But if there's something bad, it doesn't need to come. Or if by something good we'll get distraction, it doesn't come. Does that make sense? So the point is Krishna consciousness. That's the whole. If we're Krishna conscious, then everything works nicely, because it doesn't bother us. If good or bad comes, it doesn't disturb us. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj loses a whole kingdom, it doesn't disturb him. Right? His wife is disturbed, but not him. Right? But what she's disturbed about, not that she's lost, she's not the emperor of the world, that Yudhishthira deserves to be the emperor isn't, and Duryodhana, who's a rat bag, is. So, that's the point. Yeah. You understand?
The point that some people say that we do, once we have learned our lesson, then we don't need to live through the karma which was supposed to come to us. Is that right?
Yes. But the point is it's up to Krishna. See, the point is that explanation does explain what's happening, but where's the focus on that explanation?
On us.
Well, the previous one, it was on Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Right? It means that Krishna is going to give a result according to what's good for you and this and that. And so, okay, well, that's him, but what about us? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, you've changed, so you don't need to get that reaction, so it doesn't come. Mm-hmm. Then we go, oh, now I understand. Mm-hmm. You understand? Sadly says, just like, why do we have a sikha? Because Krishna likes it. But really, why do we have a sikha? What's the real reason? Oh, because the hair's there, covers the Brahmarandra, and you know, then the yoga thing, and the kundalini. And, oh, okay, now I get it. But that's the whole point, is we have to adjust to, because Krishna likes it, that's why we do it. And so this whole thing of where it's about us, then that's always going to be a problem. Not that we're not, it's not in the context of us. Just like, how does Krishna play with the cowherd boys? According to the context of their nature. It's there, but what's it about? It's about pleasing Krishna. Right? So they don't change what Krishna likes. They just things that he likes are done in that context. So in other words, they're trying to do things that please Krishna, and Krishna is interacting with them on their platform. But we take it, but... You know, we're not from this culture and all that, so we can't do all this stuff. And that means we're staying in our position and not making any adjustment for Krishna. And then Krishna has to, you know, bridge that gap. But why would he bridge the gap? Because our Western nature is just so fabulous. Oh, it's those cargo shorts. Oh, he just loves them. So he just has to come and interact. Oh, it's just like, look at that. Did you see that snap on there? Oh, that's so good. And, you know, the ones with the little extra puffy, you know, little designer, you know, little pocket there. Oh, like that. That's why he's making that whole thing. Oh, and there, you know, it's got that little alligator there, you know, on the chest. You know, it's so cute. That's why he's, you know, making this effort.
Huh?
Yes, it's a makara, you know, it reminds me. Yeah, you know, like that. Yeah, you know.
So that's the original?
Yeah, that's the original, yes. Should have been called makara, but I don't know. It's how the end of that? What has a crocodile got to do with polo, right? You know, unless they originally were riding on crocodiles, right? You know? Yeah.
Original polo.
Hmm?
They needed to come with something original.
Oh, okay.
Polo was already polo.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Something
so
else. Crocodile.
That is only for devotees, that the karma disappears once we have learned the lesson? Or is that also for the non-devotees?
The karma disappears once you have faith. Once you have faith, then someone's working on Krishna karma. There is no more karma. Because now you're situated how you're supposed to. But how are you going to understand things? It's going to be through the medium of your nature. Yeah? So through that medium of your nature, that's then how things will come. So what is that nature from? Previous action. You right? You know what I'm saying? Let's say... Let's say, okay, someone's in the wealthy family, they have so many different cars, you know, and the person was going to go out in the afternoon and he wanted to take the sport car, but then his sister already took it. Now, is he going to be in anxiety or not?
Yeah.
Right? Is he going to show up with all his friends for a nice ride in the Bentley or the Rolls? No, he was supposed to go in the Lamborghini. Right? So, it's the end of the world. Okay, now you have a family, they don't have a car, they take the local bus. So there is no one to take their car. They can't. That's not an anxiety for them. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, therefore, one's positive and negative results of action now come according to one's previous nature. Otherwise, one can't relate to it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we mean. So that's why it's called Krishna karma. It looks like your karma. Exactly. That's why we can say it's my karma. But it's not. It's Krishna karma. It's controlled by Krishna. It's not controlled by Maya. It means she may be the one affecting it, but she's not the one making the decisions. Right? Because she is, she as his energy, she knows what to do. So you do this, she does that. It's not like it's something new. Right? There's unlimited living entities here in unlimited universes. It's been going on for unlimited time. There's only so much to get used to. Right? So it's not that she has to figure it out each time. So it just happens exactly. But when Krishna's involved like this, then it's a thing, does the reaction come like that or not? Does it come in full? Does it come in part? Like Prabhupada says, you get a cut on your finger, you should have had your arm cut off. Right? So that's Krishna karma. Right? But it's all, yeah, so like that he adjusts things according to what will be good for your Krishna consciousness.
Does he ever make it worse?
What if he does?
Well, I'm just asking.
No, but I'm saying, does it matter?
It doesn't matter. But I'm just wondering, does he ever make it worse?
Yeah, but then it means if it's worse, it's not your fault. That's the weakness in that. You understand? That's why we ask. Because then we'll say, oh, it's him, it's not me. I shouldn't get this much. But no, it's just what will make us Krishna conscious. But the point is that we're in a situation that requires something rough means who's got the problem? It's us. So it's in line with our nature.
Just give me a yes or a no.
No.
It doesn't mean that.
Because the point is the question is motivated and I don't like it. So I'm not going to play the game. Okay? That's the whole point. Like that. Because we're trying to catch Krishna's mood and what's going on here. It's not a matter of us justifying and this and that. We need that thing of justice. That's why we're saying justice is important, because we think like that. Action and reaction has to be. The feminine nature has a very just mentality, is that something's done, there should be an equal reaction. You know? So very much it'll be like that. So therefore we will see in that way. But at some point then we have to see it's pleasing to Krishna. So then it's not about what's being done, it's just we're trying to please Krishna. So we give up that sense of justice. So we have to be very careful. It may be satisfying to know, but at one sense is then we're satisfied and then we just stay there. And satisfaction isn't progressive. Satisfaction is only progressive when it's dealing with the material, that I don't need anything more. Then we move into the spiritual. And there, then, we're never satisfied, because Krishna is so wonderful that the devotees always want more and more to be associated. But on the material platform, those same devotees are satisfied, is that they don't want anything more than just what comes by their work. Like that. Does that make sense? Because we're used to, well, we're satisfied with the spiritual. I chanted my rounds this morning, did it at the right time, and I'm good. And so now I, you know, hang up the beads and then go do something else and all that. But then on the material, then we'll never satisfied. So we're trying to switch that. So therefore, even though, yes, it may be whether he gives more or less than that, that's not the point. That's his call. But the point is that it's about being Krishna conscious. So contemplating that area, it's only to create our own satisfaction, that we're right in something or someone else is wrong. That will not be progressive spiritually. It may be satisfying socially, but spiritually it won't be any benefit. That's why we're skirting the point. You understand? Does that make sense? Yes.
So would you say that the correct application of faith is where you're basically putting your work in? So you're not actually putting your work in the material, you're just accepting what's coming to you, but you're actually putting your work in the spiritual, because that's...
Yes, well, when you see it connected to Krishna, it becomes spiritual. Because the point is the whole material world is Brahman, it is spiritual. There is no material world. There's a manifestation of material energy, but there's no material world. We see it as the material world. Right? So it's an inferior manifestation of the Lord, so because it's external energy. But it's never material, because it's the Lord. It's non-different from Him. How can it be material? So that's why we say, Maya is that which is not. It's an illusion that we don't know it's the Lord, and we think it's something separate, and that we're the Lord. That's the illusion. So it's always Him. So then it's just a matter of our particular conditioning that's there is just a specific combination of the... aspects of the universal form, you know, that function under certain modes of nature, like that. But it's still Krishna and His potency. So when we see it like that, we get the spiritual result, as is mentioned. Right? In the case of devotees, the same energy is transformed into spiritual energy. Right? We see it's transformed, because all it is she just acts in her natural position. Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole point. So we say it's transformed, but it's transforming back into its natural, not transforming into something else. Because we take the Mahamaya Yogamaya are two different people. So then going from one to the other, no, but it's the one person in their natural position in the spiritual is transforming the material. So then when we deal in the spiritual, she just transforms back or deals in her natural position. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, the activities themselves, then when we see it in connection to Krishna, it's acting in its natural position. When we don't see it in its connected to Krishna, then she acts within her transformed position. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole. Yes.
But when we're on the level of sadhana bhakti, mm-hmm. we usually don't feel things spontaneously. We have our mind that wants adjustment and justification and satisfaction and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we at the same time we learn philosophy, so there's a gap always. Not always, but usually there's a big gap between what the soul desires and what the mind wants. So when the mind still talks and we don't act on it, then what's that?
It's just still our conditioning, our attachment. Because there's still an idea, we can still squeeze something from it. What does the mind do? The mind goes through the options of speculation that the intelligence comes up with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, we've been in a situation, it didn't work. So then the mind goes through something... I mean, the intelligence goes through all the various options. How could you have done it? Right? And then those that look attractive, the mind takes. So all it is that the intelligence has come up with options and the mind still thinks that, well, maybe we can get something from this. And that will be because the soul is still attached to the concept that I can get something from this. Right? So... with time, that's why then the process is not to stop that. The process is to engage that in the Lord's service. So that's why then we when we have the pious mentality, we use the intelligence for that speculation to choose within the realm of what's recommended by Shastra, what's pious. And then within that, the mind picks. Right? It's still... well, can give us material benefit. But the idea is that then we're trying to purify and uplift it because we're going to offer it to Krishna. If we're going to offer it to Krishna, we go from what He prefers, not from what we prefer. Though we may start from what we prefer, but that's a beginning. Then we build up until we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So all it is that we still have some faith that maybe if we did it this way, then it would work. That's why then we take it.
And if we don't take it, we just...
we don't take it means it's consciously.
I mean, we just aim because it doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, that's there. But if we don't care, it's just like driving down the street. So many things are going by out the window, but you don't care.
We care, but we don't act.
That's the stage up from that, right? So in other words, first we care, then it is we care but we don't act, then it is we don't care, we don't act. So that means there's an improvement. When we can see the difference, that means an improvement. So that's the meaning of jnana and vairag. By devotional service, we get the knowledge by which we can see the difference and we can be detached. So that's a result of bhakti. So if we continue the process, then it works.
You said about that the spiritual world, like actually material world doesn't exist. It's only the spiritual world. So is it that, you know, Prabhupada defines, you know, material world and spiritual world, these terms based on the level of a bhakti, like a paramahansa spiritual world?
No, but they'll understand what they mean here. It's all spiritual, but there is the ekapada and the tripada. You do have that division, because it means the tripada is manifest with the internal potency, and the ekapada is manifest with the external. But to say that it's not Brahman, that's an illusion. That's why the Vedic culture is called the Brahminical culture, because everybody's trying to understand that the ekapada is Brahman. And therefore being Brahman is connected to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this is okay, but like when you were defining, you know, about the Svavishesh and the Nirvishesh Brahman, so like, is it that the Mayavadis are saying that the highest Brahman is that Nirvishesh Brahman and this is the Svavishesh Brahman that they think about?
No, they're not that smart. Don't give them so much credit. Right? So in other words, they don't understand what's beyond. We can say like that. So in other words, what they're saying and what we'll say will be the same. But to them, that's their goal. To us, we're just stating facts. Right? Because the point is this is Svavishesh Brahman. But on the material. But they don't know Svavishesh, which means spiritual. You understand? So, but their mistake is they take it Vishnu, the manifestation of Vishnu, is Svavishesh Brahman, meaning on the material platform. That's where they're Mayavadis. That's where they're offensive. No, they don't know what's beyond. That's why, even though they're so smart, they're not that smart. Right? Yeah. So just because they're smart, we don't have to be impressed. I mean, they're supposed to be smart. Right? Like that. That's, you're supposed to be smart. Like that. They just don't know how to use it. There's some other question back here? No? Okay. Okay, Sutra 129. Navaktur atmano pareshat iti ched adhyatma sambandha bhuma hyasmin. Not vaktuhu, of the speaker, atma, of the self, upadeshat, because of the instruction, iti, thus, chait, if, adhyatma, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sambandha, references, bhuma, abundance, he, indeed, asmin, in this Upanishad. When says that the Patras teaches about Indra, the reply is no. In that section of the Upanishad, there are plenty of references to the Paramatma. Sutra Pakashika. Indra, in the Kaushiki Brahmana, refers to himself as the life of all that lives. In this sutra, Vyasa entertains the objection that Indra, the jiva, is himself Brahman. To refute this argument, the sutrakara shows that the word prana appears.
Appears twice.
Okay, so that means according to, how you say? The Tatparyalingas, that this appears is very important.
Mm-hmm. Because then it says in numerous, so it appears.
Yes, yes.
Would be a tinge of repetition and slot difference in the main. one of these means looks like and the other of these means manifest.
Wow.
It appears to be manifest in numerous contexts.
Yes. Okay, so where it must be unavoidably be interpreted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The commentary then proceeds to cite these specific examples. Right? So even though Indra is the one who said it, it doesn't mean that it's about Indra. Right? Because the point is Indra on a good day, you know, he acts as a devotee. And we see that they have good realization. You see his prayers, they understand how he's the Supreme Lord. So then when he talks about Indra, then he's talking about Krishna. It means he's the office of, just like, let's say, how you say it? Let us say you have a viceroy, right? They're going to another country. They represent the state. So in dealing with them, they may talk in the way of, you know, this is not, you know, the state would not appreciate. But other times they just say, no, I don't like this. So then one may think, you know, it's about him. No, it's not. He represents the state. Does that make sense? So Indra in this case is just saying that he, as Indra, the potency he has as Indra, the post and the ability, that's actually Krishna. It's not him. So he who has that potency and all that, then he's the one who is the life force. Though he may be saying it in the first person, but actually he's talking in this case about the third, who's beyond. Okay. Yes.
Can we say that this whole thing is, we usually say that we should take the direct meaning.
Yes.
But this is direct meaning, or is it indirect in case of Indra when he speaks?
Not necessarily, because he's saying here that in numerous contexts that it's been said about Paramatma. So then we're taking that direct understanding from the position of knowing about how the Lord and his energies and everything work. Like that. So that's the thing. It's you do have the indirect aspect, but Krishna also says that you should be able to see him in both the direct and indirect. So when the Mayavadis use the indirect, they're using it to show that it's not Vishnu. They're trying to make it un-Krishna conscious. But for us, even if we're using the indirect, we're trying to be Krishna conscious. So, like that. Yes.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that there's different levels of the direct meaning.
Ah.
The Ruti.
The Ruti.
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 Mukhya has two aspects, Ruda and Yoga. And Ruti means...
Okay, Ruda. Okay. Okay.
So... Well, the highest is the
Yoga Ruta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vidvad Ruti, which is the conventional meaning of a word as used by the great sages and the great devotees, how it's understood, how you understand the spiritual, the transcendental from the Vedas.
Okay.
And then there's a lower level of common understanding, Akya Ruti, which is to understand the common people who are in ignorance. And then they'll have a different conventional meaning for the word that will keep them bound to the material world.
Okay, so
then both direct meanings.
Both are direct meanings.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So then in this case, then by definition we would have to count the Mayavadis as ordinary people.
Yeah. Ignorant convention.
Yeah. They're just the ones within the ignorant that think they're smarter. Like how you say, the guy on the boat telling the fisherman he's stupid, and then he's the one that drowns. Yeah. Okay.
So he says that we should take the understanding from the Vidva, these great sages and transcendental personalities.
The yoga ruta. Okay.
Not what anyone else says that recommends.
Aha! Ooh, this is very profound, isn't it?
He speaks about it in a number of purports in the Chaitanya Bhagavat.
So that means then Moni or Williams may be at a disadvantage at this point.
Yes, that is what I thought.
Because he doesn't necessarily take it how the sages take it.
Yes.
He takes it as the common usage.
That's right.
Yeah, because sometimes you see... That would also then explain the position that Prabhupada is in giving in his purports, and why we don't necessarily think that he's getting down to detail, is because he's always talking in that yoga rudha. And occasionally he says, you know, about, he refers to, you know, in common, it may be thought, seen like this or said like this. And so now and again he'll reference the lower.
So when people say Srila Prabhupada's translation is not a literal translation, it's just that's a manifestation of their foolish understanding.
Yeah. So you have Rudha, and what was the other one?
They're all Rudha. Rudhi.
Oh, Rudhi.
In Mukya, there's Rudhi, which is considered conventional usage of a word.
Okay.
And yoga, or the conventional understanding, and yoga, which is the understanding of the word based on etymology from the roots. But they're both direct meaning.
Okay.
And then within the Rudhi, there's that which is given by the transcendental people, and that which is given by mundane.
Okay. So if anybody thinks
and there's
that
a third one in the middle, but he doesn't talk about that one much. Dr. Stephens says what he's talking about.
Okay.
Agya Rudhi is the ignorant one.
Agya Rudhi and
Vidvad Rudhi.
Vidvad. Vidvad.
Those who actually know.
Vidvad Rudhi. Vidvad Rudhi and Agya Rudhi.
And they're all conventional understandings of what the word directly, literally means.
Okay.
Different levels of it. So here, someone who's saying this Indra is referring to Indra the Jiva, that's Agya Rudhi.
Okay.
So it's not and saying that it refers to Brahman is the Vidvad Rudhi.
Vidvad Rudhi.
And
then the
meaning,
Rudhi Valley, that's the one in the middle that we don't get into or something?
The one in the middle, I think, was Sadhana Rudhi, and I'm not sure.
Sadhana Rudhi.
Yeah, he didn't mention much about it, but it sounds like, anyway, we'll just speculate.
Okay, yeah, because you could see his, yeah, okay.
In pursuance of the past.
Yeah, because the sadhana is its pursuance, but your mentality is still on the, you're on the Agya Rudhi, but you're performing the activities of, that's why it'll be said that, oh, these don't match.
Yeah.
So then the foolishnesses we throw out the middle, and then we situate ourselves very nicely in the Agya, rather than try to move forward.
So in one purport he gives the three, but then in three or four other purports he just breaks it into two, Vidvad and Agya.
Yeah, well, because that'll be the practice. If you understand that, you could understand the third, but otherwise you bring the third, yeah, because it's just a combination. If you bring the third in, it's just like if you understand night, you understand day, you can understand Sandhya. So generally we say there's day and night, but technically it's day, night, and Sandhya. But actually it's just that third category is simply the combination of the two, but it's actually one or the other. So that you'll get differences on sometimes the different sages, and that give different lists. So all it is are they counting the sandhyas or not?
Mm-hmm.
Some don't. They just say, if you know these, then you'll understand it. And others, then they'll break it down so you can understand it. Like that. So that's why it appears there's a difference in what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I told them that Chaitanya Bhagavat commentary in relation to Lord Chaitanya's teaching of Krishna from all the grammatical.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
and the students got bent out of shape because he was using the
Vidvad
instead of the.
They thought he'd gone mad.
Yeah, so scientific, huh?
Very complex.
Sorry?
Complex.
Yes, complex. It's very, very, very. Okay. Yeah. Sri Govindavasya, Purva Paksha. What you say is not correct, because Indra, the speaker, a jiva, describes himself, right? So that would be the conventional understanding of direct, right? Indra says, know that I am prana, Kaushitaki, Brahmana 3.2, right? Because he says, know that I am prana. But the point is you're thinking, I am Indra, and on my own I'm doing this, but actually know that I'm prana, is actually the Supreme Lord. He's the one that's there. So what you see as Indra is the Lord's potency, not my potency as a jiva. Right? But the, how you say, the Purva Pakshavadis here, then they don't understand this, right? He says, okay, this is still Purva Paksha. He says, Tri Shiranam Tvastaram Ahanam, Arun, Mukhan, Rishin, Sala, Vrikebhya, Prayachan, I killed Vritrasura, the three-headed son of Tvashta.
Wouldn't that be the son of the three-headed Tvashta?
I killed Vritrasura, the three-headed son. No, because no, it wasn't Vritrasura, because the three-headed son was Vishwaroop.
Yeah.
But he killed them both, so, yeah.
Conventionally.
So I killed Vritrasura and the three-headed
son. Oh, okay, I killed Vritrasura, okay, the three-headed son of Tvashta, and, so that means it's a list, okay, and I gave the Arunmukha sages to the wolves. Okay. Indra's not messing around here, right? I wonder if he like had a trap door and dropped it down there, like that kind of thing. Yeah, okay. And he's not mentioning the ones about the sharks, right? Things like that. Okay. This shows that he teaches worship of himself as Jiva. Thus, the concluding passage mentioning nectar or bliss of life, etc., also refers to a Jiva, even though mention is made of bliss. Because of the previous statements, right? So they're taking their context, but they're looking at everything from conventional viewpoint. So that's what we mean about these mental speculators, is that they know very well, they're super intelligent when it comes to conventional. So amongst ordinary people, then they stand out. But when you compare them to the sages, then they're not. Right, because they take it that the intellectual prowess they have is actually the advanced position. Because within the ordinary, that would make them advanced. But when it comes to the spiritual in its own is already in the advanced position. So even if, let's say, one is not so grammatically developed or intellectual as them, but they're working on the higher platform, it's already higher. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the entry-level Porsche is always better than the high-end Ford. But you can say, oh, but that's just entry-level, this is high-end. Yeah, but it's they're in two different categories. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that's where the confusion comes in, that they look smart, they look so good. So the modern scientists, the academics, the philosophers, all these different, they look so smart, but they're smart within the conventional. But when you have the spiritual and you're going from that point of view, even the newest devotee is actually more intelligent. That's why they can make devotees, but these great personalities can't. That was Prabhupada's point. Hundreds of Gitas, I think 700 Gitas like that, not one devotee. Prabhupada's Gita, then devotees are there. And so therefore, the newest person quoting from that Gita makes devotees. So that's the whole point. Is that's the difference between the two Rudis. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yes.
I was going to ask that in this particular list given by the Jiva Indra, he sounds quite proud about these activities, and I thought he was quite ashamed of them, actually.
No, but he doesn't say what the context, because he could just be saying that I did this, and you don't know what comes after that. He could be saying, you know, that was not nice, or
you know. Priya Bhagavatamrita.
Huh?
He also gives the list to Gop Kumar.
Okay.
He gives the list that what he did.
Oh, okay.
And he was very ashamed of that.
Yeah. So then it could be in that context. It's just that they're only trying to show that. He says, I did it. And because he said, I killed Vritrasura, we know that that wasn't the Supreme Lord, but that was the Jiva.
Right.
You know, and Vishwaroop was killed by him. And I guess the Arunmukha sages were given to the wolves by him. But, you know, what that means, you know, that they may have just been when the dogs were let out and they went along with them. So, you know, it was all part of the song. But we don't understand, you know, the rest of it. They're only taking this part. They're only worried that here we can directly say the Jiva did this. So therefore, now, further in this chapter, he's saying that I am prana. So then he's going to say that, he's not the supreme. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the idea. So, but the point is that, no, the context is being given how the sages would interpret. So in other words, where the ordinary is there, yes, you'd use that. But where you would use the transcendental, that will always be used. In other words, if you can get the transcendental understanding, you'll always take that. Right? But the context in which you're applying it, that may be within the ordinary. It means the environment may be the ordinary. But how you interpret that context, that will always be the spiritual. That will always be the, how you say, the, you know, what the sages, like that.
Maharaj, also in, I think in Nyaya or Vaisheshika, they define Shastra as the words of Apta, which means the sage.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yes, yes.
Similar.
Yes, so that means it must be, so he's saying who is that? Gotama is defining that Praman, evidence, is the words of the Aptas, or the great personalities, or the sages. Because the common man says something, but we don't take that as specifically, that's authority. The common man may say something, but because it's based on Shastra, then we'll take it as authority. That's what he's saying. The new Bhakta is basing what they're saying on authority, on the scriptures, what he's heard from others. Therefore, what he says has potency. Right? In other words, the potency of those personalities, like he quotes something from Gita, that potency of Krishna and Arjuna, and then from Prabhupada's purports, that's coming through. The person becomes a devotee because of that. They're simply carrying it. That's the difference. And the one, it's up to your intelligence, that's as good as it gets. But in here, it's the spiritual potency. So it has an effect. Yes?
And when he speaks with realization, then it's coming from like the revelation of the super soul within the heart?
Yes, that's there. It just means that that increases. So it's at least you're carrying it, but at the same time, you may also understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So even if you don't understand it, if you just say it, it will have effect. That's why this thing is, oh no, because unless we're socially and materially so sophisticated that then people won't be attracted, that's just pure nonsense. Because the point is that sophistication, who is it attracting? And it's only attracting those who are on that level, and then how are you going to attract it? You know, it's like, you in other words, you're not going to do function on that level and do what you want to do by having two or three sets of clothes. Right? You have 20, 30, and each piece that you have costs hundreds of dollars and some of them thousands. Then we can say, okay, they'll say, this guy, you know, looks okay. But now what comes out of his mouth? Right? Because, you know, can the common person speak what those people speak? You know, we're used to looking at celebrities and this and that, but they come and go, you know, just with the, you know, sunrise and sunset. Because they're common people that got, you know, jettisoned into, you know, something, you know, that everybody's interested in. But the same way as soon as everybody stops, they're gone. But the people who stay in that level of sophistication and all that, the way they talk, the way they do everything, it's just, they can tell. Right? You know, just like you have that little rectangular, square piece it's like a tissue, but it's a little heavier than that, and they fold it and they put it on the table and put the silverware on it. What is it? Right? People say it's a, what is it?
Napkin.
But if they're trying to be fancy, they'll say it's a serviette. Right? But the people who are really aristocratic, they'll say it's a napkin. And they know that the people who are saying serviette are only trying to be sophisticated. Right? You know, or let's say the lady is, you know, how you say, with child. Okay, how do you technically say that? She is
pregnant.
Right? But someone will say, she's expecting. But expecting means you're a wimp. You know, because maybe it'll happen, maybe... No, she's pregnant. It's the fact. So those on that level, the lady's pregnant. She's not expecting or... You understand? So they're very straightforward and this and that. And so we try to be fancy. But they talk in a different language. How they speak, and they can just tell by how you speak where you're from. That's it. So then we're going to function in that level? Not a chance. There is no chance. Because it's everything you do, how you move, how you walk. That's why Arjuna asked, okay, there is this spiritual person. How does he talk? How does he walk? How does he sit? Like that. Do we ever notice that? No, but that's what the etiquette, that's what the... So you act within the Vaishnava etiquette. That's comparable, that's higher, because that's within what the sages do. And then we're going to try to impress people on the ordinary, and we don't have the conditioned nature for that?
You understand? Make a silk purse out of a sandal.
Yes, that's the whole point. That on the material platform, we're never going to impress anybody. You know, those that come from our specific social background, they'll feel comfortable. But people below that, you know, what's the fanciness? And the other guys, that, you know, who are these? You know, what slum did these guys come from? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. It's not the... You know what I'm saying? So there's no way that you're going to impress people on the material platform. Unless you're from that, because then you know what to do. Right? When we say something's tacky, what does that mean? It means somebody from a lower social status is trying to do something fancy. It's called tacky. So for us it's not tacky, but for someone who's higher up, it's tacky. Right? Therefore, if we want to try to impress people, that's what political correctness is, trying to impress people, you know, that we are just so materially together. But we're not. You know, we're absolutely not. You can count on your fingers, you know, how many devotees have come from that kind of background who could do that. Right? Yeah, that means there's more, but I can think of two right now. And they're building the big building over there. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's because for them, that's normal. For us, it's, whoa. For them, that's normal. You know what I'm saying? So the only hope is to work, as Deep Prabhu was saying, on what the level of the sages. So even if we're the, you know, most unsophisticated within the realm of the sages, we're light years ahead of the most sophisticated man there. And those real sophisticated people know it. That's the thing. The people who, the quasi, they think, oh, we're not. But the real ones, they can see. They can see. Here's something solid.
They'll appreciate.
They will appreciate. They do appreciate. That's the thing. And if we try to shift it into the ordinary, then, oh, we're not this and that, we're all this and that. And so what are they going to do? Are they going to do something better? You know what I'm saying? We're the sophisticated ones and we sell 55th Street? You don't sell 55th Street. It's two blocks from Columbus Circus, which is the most happening place in New York, and we sell it, and then we're going to impress people on the material platform, and we move out to Towaco. That's in Jersey. That's a, you know, might as well have been in, you know, the other side of the planet. Sorry. Yeah.
Wacko to
Wacko. Yeah. I can remember Chutananda when they did that. He got a t-shirt. You know, he had it specially made. It says, where the hell is Towaco? Because nobody even knows. No one's heard of it, you know? Like that. So, that's the... And here's a guy, when he preaches, he, for fun, calls down the people from, what do I call it, Mansa?
Mensa.
He would call them down and have lunch with them. And he'd keep them entertained the whole time. He was so smart. Yeah, you know.
What's Mensa?
Mensa, it's a club of people. I think you have to have a minimum IQ of like 160 or something. So it's just a club of super intelligence. So they just sit around impressing each other with mental speculation. So he would call them over for lunch. And he would just keep them laughing and everything just the whole time. Like that. And so he's over. Where's this place? You know?
Who made that?
Achyutananda. So the whole point is we're not making a distinction between what's direct and what's indirect. And what's spiritual, you know, what's by the sages, by the opta, and what's just by the common man. So we think we're going to impress the common man by common man stuff. But unless you come from that background, you're not going to impress anybody. Literally, you're not. Like that. So because we have to remember is that intellectuals sitting around and speculating on what people will like is not actually the reality. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you take that journalist who writes the editorial, who does he move with? Other writers, and they all got nothing. And nobody cares for them. That's the reality. And even those few friends they move with, how much they'll be friends at the end of the day, you don't know. If it comes up that they could get your job or this and that, they will get it. So it's the most unreal world, and they think that they are the real world. That's just, everybody has their illusion, and just they're able to make it public, and so they think that they're better. But there's probably some weirdo in a garage somewhere that has, you know, many more readers and followers on YouTube than they do. You know, so if you want to go by mass, these guys got it. You know what I'm saying? The guy's the journalist for the New Yorker. He has less influence than, let's say, Lady Gaga. But his false ego will be a lot bigger. Depends on what it is. When it comes to wearing outfits, then hers is definitely more. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point is, reality means what the sages say. That's reality. Then we take that and try to apply that in a way that the common person can appreciate it. But we have to take that. And if we start with the common person and then say, from here we'll build, you'll only get something really ordinary. Nothing special. I mean, really nothing special.
It's grounded in mediocrity.
It's grounded in mediocrity. As I mentioned before, and we mention it again. Last time I was in New York in JFK, I was sitting there for like 3 hours waiting for the flight. In that 3 hours, walking by, you know, a lot of people go through that airport, I saw three people that dressed properly, nicely. The rest of them were all slobs. Not even just, you know, okay, they were slobs. And then we're going to use this as the blueprint for the universal culture for the world, and we're going to impress them with our sophistication. They're slobs, you know. I mean, really, you know, Europeans dress much better. Orientals, everybody looks good. You go to Singapore, everybody's dressed good. You know, but over there, slobs. So that's
Prabhupada came to Alachua, Florida. He sat on the Vyasa sign in Alachua, Florida. And you know what the first words out of his mouth were in Alachua, Florida?
What was that?
Here we are in this remote place, far away from the birthplace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The further west you come from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more demoniac it becomes.
Yes, yes.
That was the first words he said in the Lajra report.
Yeah, yeah. So then you're saying it was a step up for L.A. to have moved out to Alachua. Because it was farther east, closer to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Okay. Yeah. So that's the...
And if you look at the map of the world, if you draw a global map, you draw an arrow right through Alachua, Florida, it's, 100% west. It's like as far west as you can get. Then when you get towards LA, you're coming closer to it.
Oh, okay, it's the farthest away. Okay.
It's the farthest away.
Okay, that's interesting.
Antipodes.
Huh?
Antipodes.
It
means the opposite place on the globe.
Oh, Antipodes. Okay. Okay. And you get there by that guy who drives that flying boat that you have to pay him 2 coins?
One way.
Okay. I find it funny that Christian West is coming out of the logical floor.
Yeah. That's fine.
Considering what Prabhupada said as soon as he sat down.
That's the point. So we're trying to say here, yes. So the point to gain is that on ordinary platform, then there's nothing special. But if you deal on the platform of the sages and their understanding, right? So then Vedanta Sutras is presenting what the sages give, and who are they arguing against? The ordinary way of looking. But not just the guy off the street, the most intellectual people in the ordinary. Does that make sense? So they would be the highest within that category, but they don't even get close to, you know, just the beginning stage of the actual higher category. Does that make sense? But we see if someone like that becomes Krishna conscious, then immediately they're in a very elevated position, like Sukadev Goswami or the Four Kumaras. Because of their thought and everything, then when they do switch into seeing things from that higher perspective, then they're better. So, like that. But, yeah. Okay. When Indra says, I am prana, he teaches worship of himself, a jiva. It means worship me as prana, just as it is said elsewhere, worship speech as a cow. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 5.4.1. Indra teaches worship of himself of prana to indicate that he is the deity controlling strength. For it is said, prano vai balam prana. Prana is indeed strength. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.14.4. Therefore, prana refers to a jiva. Right, so that's their argument. Siddhanta. This proposal is refuted in the following sutra. Navaktur atmano padeshad iti ched. Adhyatma sambandha bhuma hyasmin. If it is said that the speaker here refers to himself, I say that is not true. In this passage, there are many references to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this section, asmin, there are plenty, bhuma, of references to the Paramatma, adhyatma sambandha, because that is seen, the prana refers to Paramatma. Firstly, Pratardana asked what was most beneficial. That means he asked about the method of attaining liberation. The answer given is, worship me as prana. Only the Lord can give liberation. Right? So when you worship Indra as prana, what does that mean? Are you worshiping the jiva as prana? Or you're recognizing the position of Indra is actually the potency of the Lord. So when you see all the demigods headed by Indra as the arms of the universal form, and that he is the potency behind everything, he makes everything function, then that will give you, as he mentioned here, that will be the most beneficial. Right? So when you see the Lord in everything, that's the most beneficial. But for common usage, then they're looking at it, he means worship Indra, that's going to give you your best. Because by worshiping Indra, then you get material facilities, this, that. Right? But, because their Mayavadis are not interested in materials facilities, so they're not even interested in this, so I'm not even sure why they're even talking about it. But, yeah. Yes?
By the way, in the list, in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you worship Indra for powerful sex as well.
Oh, just for powerful sex. Okay.
Just want to mention that. That's the deity you worship if you desire powerful sex.
Okay. So that he's... Good to know. Good to know. We'll keep that in mind. Okay, yes. Okay.
Somehow that is stuck in my mind.
Yeah, yes. Strange. Yeah. Of all the different ones listed. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, only the Lord can give liberation. So that's the first point. Secondly, then the same Upanishad contains other statements concerning prana. Esha eva sadhu karma kara yati. Prana makes a person perform pious acts. Kaushtitaki Upanishad 3.8. Only the Lord is the cause of all action, right? Because Indra is not controlling all action. He controls certain things. So then say that he's the one controlling everybody, then that doesn't match. But if we go from before, that it's talking about worship me as prana, meaning that you worship the Lord. You see me as a connection to the Lord. You see everything in connection with the Lord. Then you see is that why we will do good acts or bad. The potency is coming from the Lord. We just make a choice. We choose the Lord, then we have the potency to do proper. We don't choose the Lord, then we get the potency to not be proper. Right? Yeah. Only the Lord is the cause of all action. Thirdly, the same Upanishad says this about prana. Tad yata ratas shyareshu nemir arpita. Just as in a chariot wheel, the rim rests on the spokes, and the spokes on the hub. In the same way, the material elements rest on prana, intelligence, and prana rests on pragya, intelligence, and pragya rests on prana. Right? So you have the activity that's being performed, that rests on knowledge, intelligence. That rests on prana, or the Lord. That's why it said that intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul. Right? So if we're using our intelligence, then we can actually know the Lord. But if we're just using the emotions, unless we can switch those emotions to Krishna, that may work. But if it's not, then we have to use the intelligence. Okay. Is that, yeah? Thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura Prema ki.